new year, Preston Wood. How are you today? Yeah, it's a great day. Come on, stand together. We're going to declare this about this house and every house represented here. Come on.
A place where your love is found. A place where forgiveness and joy abound. Where one endless song resounds. How great you are.
Declare it with us, come on.
A place where the word brings life. A place full of hope, where faith will rise and worship breaks through the night. How great you are.
Come on, every voice.
This house will be a house of praise with hands held high to bless your name. Jesus Christ, our cornerstone. This house is yours and yours alone. A place where the shadows flee. Of redemption and victory, and here every eye will see how great you are. This house will be a house of praise with hands held high to bless your name. Jesus Christ, our cornerstone. This house.
To everybody, this new year filled with hope and possibility of all that God is going to do in this house and in all of our homes together. So grateful for his presence and his faithfulness through 2022. We look forward to walking with him into 2023, and we know that he is the center. I can think of no better way to ring in the new year than to just call upon his name. So God, we need you. We humble ourselves before you. Come, have your way in us. We worship you. We adore you. We thank you. Let's join and sing this hymn. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune thy heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Oh, praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. I was lost in utter darkness, till you came and rescued me. I was bound by all my sin, when your love came and set me free. Now my soul can sing a new song, now my
sing a new song. Now my heart has
Hello, everyone, and Happy New Year. I'm here with Tim Matthews. Hello, Tim, and say hello to all of the great people back home.
Hey, church family.
And Tim is here with his family, and we have nearly 300 people in Israel right now, and we're walking where Jesus walked, and right now we're actually at a spot where we know he walked here. These are the steps leading from the Garden of Gethsemane right to the house of Caiaphas, where Jesus was held captive all night before the trials and ultimately his execution and crucifixion. And so it's a very moving thing. We want to be faithful to God always. And as you look just to my left here, you can also see a statue, which that's of Simon Peter and the maid and others who were speaking to him and asking him, aren't you one of his disciples? And Peter denied the Lord three times, and so we're grateful the Lord restored Peter. And so that's just a little flavor of some of the things that we're seeing here. But we miss you, and we're praying for the service today. In fact, I wore my prayer cap today. And Tim, really what I'm thinking about as we get ready for a brand new year is that we really obviously focus on Jesus, but that prayer would be the priority of our lives personally, that we would pray for our church, that we would be a praying church, truly praying for our community, praying for our families. I know we desperately need the Lord in these days, and he's promised to hear our prayers. So I personally am just recommitting my life to deepening my walk with God in my prayer life and to pray always, as the scripture says. So please know that we're praying for you. I want to thank you, church, for this past year and just the amazing things that God has done through you. I want to thank our team. Just, you know, Tim here is representative of our adult ministry, but all of our pastoral team, our ministry team, our church staff at all of our campuses, Espanol, North Campus, Plano Campus, and the hundreds, really thousands of volunteers who are so willing to follow Christ and to serve our church, and to the many, many people who have been so generous with our church in this past year. And we're getting final reports on the end of year, but I can tell you it's very, very good, very, very positive. And God's blessed us through his people with an incredible finish to the year, and just overall in our giving, it's a record-setting year. That also includes our baptisms and reaching people for Christ and the ministries and just everything that we've been doing over the past 12 months or so. And now we get to do it again. And so on this first day of 2023, we have the opportunity to go forward. For me, we don't look back too much. It's always onward and upward. So no, I wore my prayer cap. We're praying for you. As you're worshiping today, we love you and thank you for your prayers for us. God bless you, Preston Wood. I love you.
So fantastic, and I want to give you a welcome as well. I think our pastor had his prayer hat on yesterday. I know we're a praying people because TCU is going to the Natty, ladies and gentlemen. I know we're a praying people. Thank you, Pastor, for your prayers. Thank you all for your prayers. I'm Jeremiah Johnston. I have the privilege to be one of the pastors that serve y'all here on staff. I wish you all a happy New Year's. If you would like the worship guide for today, because we don't let up in January. In fact, we push the throttle forward. You can just text GUIDE to 74788. And that will give you today's worship guide and some very important announcements for all of our ministries that are kicking off this month. So just check text GUIDE 74788. Also want to welcome all of our guests. You're a guest to us if you are not a member of Prestonwood Baptist Church. And so please text the word CONNECT to 74788. This is your very first time. I hope you'll stop by our connection booth in the atrium. Let us share with you about our family, our church family, how we can minister and love and support you. Speaking of that, one of my great heroes is preaching God's Word today, Pastor Neil Jeffrey, and I cannot wait to hear him preach today. Pastor Neil and his amazing team lead our pastoral care. We need that. And so text that number in. We want to welcome you into the family of Prestonwood. Don't just be a spectator. Be involved. I also want to encourage you with something that blessed my heart early this morning. I'm a Christian historian, a New Testament scholar. Did you know 200? I hope someday in heaven we can time travel. Have you ever thought of that? Go back to those great moments. And 50 miles from where Audrey and Lily Faith and I lived in Oxford, England, is a little township called Olney, O-L-N-E-Y. And it was 250 years ago, January 1st, 1773, that the local curate, that's pastor in England, stood up. His name was John Newton. And John had this thing every New Year's Day when he would give an exposition, he would also write a hymn that the congregation would recite to remember his exposition. And exposition, if you're new, that's just teaching the Bible verse by verse. That's what that word means. His passage that morning was from 1 Chronicles 17, where David looked at all God had done in his life. I took you from the shepherd field, and now you're king of Israel. And he took a moment to reflect. And it was that day, 250 years ago, that John Newton started reading these amazing words of amazing grace. And I want to just remember that and reflect on that. So we should reflect. As we go to God in prayer, I open my Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul in verse 10. And some of you, we all need to hear this today. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, when I look behind me in my past, God delivered me. I look around right now at my present, He will deliver me. When I look in my future, we have put our hope in Him that He will deliver us yet again. And that is my prayer as we go into 2023. Also want to thank God for all of you who got 8 hours of sleep last night. Raise your hand if you got 8 hours of sleep last night. I didn't. My house, some of you know, we have 5 children, 5 niños in my house. And then Lily had 10 girls spend the night last night. But you know what? They're right over here on the front row for church. So God bless all of you parents that drug your kids to church today. Let's go to God in prayer and ask the Lord's anointing on the rest of our service. Father, we do pray that your spirit would work in a powerful way this morning. Lord, there are men and women, families, boys and girls, visitors, first-time guests. And Lord, they need a touch from you today. I pray that you'd anoint Pastor Neil as he preaches your word. Fill him with your spirit. Anoint Brother Michael as he leads us in worship with a worship team. Anoint our wonderful time of invitation. Protect our pastor and the nearly 300 pilgrims in the land of Israel. And I pray that you would continue to work mightily in their lives. God, we thank you that as we look back, you have delivered us. We know you're going to deliver us from whatever we're facing right now. And we stand on 2 Corinthians 1:10. You will deliver us in the future. Jesus, we love you. We worship you. In your powerful name and all God's people said, amen. Will you join me and stand as we continue in worship?
All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never. So I threw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. Oh yes. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a
voice. Let's declare this.
So come on, my soul, but don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a light inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the Lord. Praise Him, yeah. So come on, my soul, but don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and pray the Lord. Come on, my soul. So come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and pray the Lord.
Father, Son, and morning, and Happy New Year. I've been blessed already. This is a great way to start the new year in the house of the Lord, and I'm honored to be here, honored to get to preach. I'm so thankful that you're here. I mean, I didn't know who was going to show up. I didn't know if anybody was going to show up. Just the fact that you came, it's great. I mean, if my mom was still living, of course, she's in heaven now, but if she was, I would call her this afternoon and say, Mom, you won't believe how many people came today. But I'm glad you're here, and I always feel obligated just to warn you that I'm a stutterer. All that means is that I stutter, and I actually do it pretty well. You never know. Sometimes it's better than other times, but it's always exciting, and I can honestly say my life has always been exciting because you just never know in any situation I'm in if I'll be able to say something. And so I don't stutter as well as I used to stutter. When I was a kid, I may have stuttered as well as anybody has ever stuttered. I'm not sure if they keep those kind of stats or not, but as a kid, I couldn't talk, couldn't say anything. And it was always exciting. It impacted my life in a whole lot of ways, and I'm going to share a little bit of that today as well in this message. But the message today is, I'm a stutterer, so just know if and when I do stutter, just wait a minute because something eventually comes. That's what I want you to know. You know, the message, a title today is, Will Your New Year Really Be New? Now, the whole, new, just everybody wants the best, in this new year. And, you know, I love just how Christmas and New Year's, Christmas was all about getting gifts for, it's about Jesus, but it's also about getting gifts and for the little kids and something new, something exciting. Of course, I wanted my grandkids, we got 12 of them, and, I wanted to get something good and something great that they're pumped, excited about, open something new, something good for them, and they excited about when they open. I want that for them. And, of course, it's a new year. I want the best for them. I want the best for you. Of course, we always say, Happy New Year. And I've said that 1,000 times already. I've written a bunch of letters. In fact, you may be one of them. I wrote your letter thing, but I always say something like this at the end. And I pray God's very best for you this Christmas season and in that New Year's. Where I want the best. And I really mean that. I want the best for you. Well, you know what? God wants the best for you. And God loves you. And in this new year, He wants you just not to have a happy new year, just in time and in name only. He wants this to be a brand new year for you. So here's what I want you to kind of think about. There are three words in the New Testament crafted around the word new. And we're going to look at those three words and those three verses about making your new year really new. The three words are new creation, new covenant, new commandment. Of course, the new creation is in 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says this, an incredible verse. Therefore, it says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. Now, just we're going to look at that in just a minute, but just as a little insight, and I just noticed this little deal this morning, early. Verse 18, the first phrase in verse 18 says, all this is from God. That's going to be the point in just a minute. This new creation thing is something God does. It's above us. It's beyond us. It's a God thing. New creation. Second is a new covenant. Hebrews chapter 8. Well, the Bible says this, verse 8, behold, Hebrews 8:8, the days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will establish a new covenant. Then he explains that through verse 12, and we'll look at that in just a minute. A new covenant. Then in John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus is speaking here, and Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, and here it is, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also love one another. And by this, verse 35 says, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Three words, three statements, three great passages of scripture. First, new creation. I'm sorry, I gotta do that every now and then. I don't know if it's stuttering or if it's allergies or if it's sin in my life or something. I don't know what it is, but I get really dry. Anyway, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ is a key. In Christ. Everything changes when we get in Christ. Behold, the old is a new creation. The old is passed away, and behold, the new has come. Now, a new creation obviously is a product of a created act. It's something God does. It's a brand new thing. Of course, everybody wants something new. Everybody, you know, my grandkids got something new for Christmas. They're excited about it, but it really doesn't last. Really doesn't change anything. They're excited for a moment. You know, that's the way it is in the world. I mean, so many people are just excited about something, maybe about this new year, but really nothing's really going to change in their life. And they're always trying to find something to fill that void, just to make them happy, to make them experience some new thing in their life. The tragedy is, the Bible says, Ecclesiastes 1:9, this is an amazing statement, there is nothing new under the sun. Now, that's a fascinating statement. Of course, it's a statement made way back then, but it kind of speaks about that, hey, the sun is the center of our solar system. And, of course, everything above the sun is beyond us. It's God. It's the heavens. Of course, anything below that is man. It's us. It's the world. And what he's saying, there's nothing new in this world. Now, obviously, man thinks there's things new, and he's discovering things all the time, and he's made building things all the time, but there's nothing new from God's perspective. God has knows all things. It's all from him. It's all out of him. In fact, then there's nothing new. If you're looking for something to make you really new this new year, you can't find it in this world. That's why Ecclesiastes, the author of Ecclesiastes, writes this whole book about, hey, I tried everything. Everything under the sun, he said, but it was vanity. Vanity was all vanity. I couldn't find anything. And the challenge is, hey, there's nothing new under the sun. That's why if something is really going to be new in your life, it's got to come from above. That's why the Bible says, John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, when Jesus speaks to Nicodemus, you remember this, and Jesus looks right at him and says, you must be born again. Actually, that word also means not just born again the second time. It also means you must be born from above. Hey, the whole new thing happens when God does what God does. And there is another birth. All of us are born physically, yes. All of us are born naturally, yes. But there's a second birth because ultimately, and we all know this as well. Hey, why do we need to be born a second time? Why do we need to be born from above? You know why? We weren't born right the first time. We were born. The Bible says this, Psalms 51:5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin, and my mother conceived me. It simply means, hey, my mom and dad had a sin nature. I have a sin. I was born with a sin nature, and I have sinned by choice, and that sin nature is why I need to be born again, born from above. It's what Jesus does. It's the old creation. The old man was plunged into sin and condemnation because of disobedience of Adam and sin. So death reigned and death is victorious in the old creation. But in the new creation, it means righteousness and salvation because of Jesus Christ and what he does for us. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and accept him into your life, you know what happens? You're born again. You're born from above. A whole new thing happens to you, and you become what the Bible describes, and it's a miracle, a new creation. Just as God does a whole new thing in your life and makes everything new. Now, this is something, as that verse 18 says, It's from God. It's what God does. And it happens in a moment when a person realizes there's a sinner, they're a sinner, and they need a Savior. And then invite Jesus Christ into their life. I was standing, and of course, it's a miracle. It's the miracle of conversion, the miracle of being saved, the miracle of being born again. Happens in our church all the time. Happens all over the world where people are being saved. But a number of years ago, during an invitation, the 11 o'clock service, I was standing right here. And doing what we do as ministers, you know, down front, just being there waiting for anybody to come. All of a sudden, I see a guy get out of the aisle right back there. And he starts walking here. And, of course, as soon as I saw him, I'm thinking to myself, man, that's a good-looking guy. And also said this, man, that's a good-looking suit he's got on. And he comes forward to me. He comes up. I do what you do. You see him, you stick him in your hand. I grabbed him by the hand, looked in the eye, and said, what's your decision this morning? I mean, he could hardly talk. He was just overwhelmed with everything. Essentially, he said, hey, I've lost everything in my life. My wife kicked me out of the house this morning. I said, I never want to see you again. Never come back again. He starts sharing stuff. And I just, you know, usually we let the people stay here. I said, hey, let's go to my office. We went straight to my office right there. We just left, walked and went in my office. He told me his whole story. He was addicted to everything, dominated to everything, had everything the Lord had to offer, but literally had nothing. And he realized, I got nothing. Well, I told him about Jesus and who he was and what he did. And hell, you forgive all that stuff in your life. And the old's going to be gone and the new's going to, you're going to be a brand new creation in Christ. Because this is what he did. He came, he lived, he died. For our sins, he was buried, he rose again. He gives life. I mean, I shared the whole thing. And then I looked at him and said, do you want to accept Jesus in your life as your Savior? He could hardly talk. I mean, he was just overwhelmed. And he just whispered yes and said, and nodded his head. I said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And he's sitting in that chair right there in my office. I'm at my desk chair. I say, hey, we're going to kneel, and you're going to pray, and you're going to ask Jesus into your heart. You know, I used to always, in leading God of Christ, I would say a prayer and have him say it after me. I don't do that anymore. I let the guy pray. And I look around and say, hey, you're going to pray. You're going to pray out loud, so I'm going to hear you. And I'm going to be a witness for the rest of your life of what you did in this moment. Of course, the guy always says this. And this guy said it too. Hey, I've never prayed out loud. For what do I say? I don't know what to say. Well, I looked right at him, and this was the first time I ever used this phrase with a guy. I think it was from the Lord. I said, hey, look at me. Hey, it don't matter what you say. You can't fake God anyway. If this is real, you just share with God what's going on in your life and that now you know he's the Savior, if you know that. And you know he forgives you of your sin. And you ask him into your heart. You just pray out loud. He starts to pray. Here's the testimony. It's always, and I've heard this a dozen times, men who've never prayed before. It's the greatest prayer I've ever heard. Because it's real. It's authentic. The man knows he's got nothing. He's dead in his trespasses and sin. He's lost. He's got no hope. He's got all that. He's the old man, the old creation. And he invites Jesus Christ into his life. Now stop right there. There's the rest of the story to this. But stop right there. You know, I want you to know this. What happens in that moment is a miracle. Amen. In fact, you know what? It's the greatest miracle in all the universe. You know why? Because it meets the greatest need of the human heart, of the human soul. And you know what? Why else is the greatest miracle? It costs the greatest price for us to have salvation because it costs the death of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it's the greatest miracle because it gives the greatest benefit ever. A human being gets to know God personally, has their sins forgiven, gets new life in Christ, and gets eternal life forever and ever and ever. It's the greatest miracle. Now, I mean, it's just, I don't understand how that happens. I mean, I'm there with that moment. I didn't, there was no lightning, there was no thunder, but you know, it happened. It was a miracle. You know, bottom line, scientists are never going to get that. ABC News is never going to get that. The world doesn't get, you know why? Because it's not of this world. It's not under the sun. It's a brand new thing that God does in the life of a man or a woman who comes to faith where they trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And they are born again, born from above, made new in Christ. Old things are passed away. They're now a new creation in Jesus. Well, after he prays that prayer, I mean, I looked at him and said this. Hey, that was the greatest prayer I've ever heard. Well, I said my little prayer. Thank you for getting. He gets up. He stands up. I mean, you know what? And this is my point, really. When he stood up, he was not the same man who knelt down. Amen. He was changed. He was different. Right. He was new. The old has passed away. The new had come. He's a brand new child of God. Amen. Well, he said, now, what do I do now? I said, well, you got to go home and tell your wife what's happening. He said, I can't go home. She never wants to see me again. You go home and just tell her what happened to you. Well, he goes home that afternoon. Of course, this is years ago, but she wasn't happy to see him. But you know what she said later? Hey, I could tell. Now, she didn't say it then, but she said, I could tell this was not the same man. There was something different about him. Well, he tells her the story. They struggled. They had issues all week. But the next week, the next Sunday, I'm standing in my place. You know what happened? He steps out and his wife, and they both come forward and commit the lives of Jesus Christ. The point is, you can be new in Christ. You know, this whole new thing, I wrote, where did I write? I just had this. And I do this all the time. Is it over there? The new creation. Of course, the old. All of us have got that old stuff in our life, but when we get to be in Christ, all that's gone. Everything is new. You know what you get? You know what I got? When I trusted Jesus Christ, I got a new nature. I got a divine nature. I got the nature of God is now in me because it's Christ in me. I'm in Christ, and Christ in me is the hope of glory. The old man is dead. The old man's gone. So in Galatians 2:20, it's one of the most amazing verses in the Bible. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The old man's gone. I get a new nature. You know, I was dead. Now I'm alive as a new man. I was lost. Now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. That sounds like a good song. I've got a purpose now. I got a reason. I got a future. I got a hope. Everything is new. I see everything differently. I see the world differently. I see God differently. I see Jesus differently. Hey, I see my sin differently because, no, my sin's been paid for. Yes, I still sin, but I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint by Jesus Christ who's forgiven me, who's cleansed me, who has justified me before God just as if I had never sinned. I'm a sinner, but I got a Savior as a new man in Christ. Hey, I'm selfish. I got issues in my life. You know, I got the Holy Spirit now within me as a new man, and the Holy Spirit changes everything. It's like Jesus died for me, yes, but now he has given himself to me, yes, and he lives within me through the Holy Spirit, and now he wants to shine that light of who he is through me as well. I'm selfish, but now I got the Spirit. I become Christ-centered, and I got my stuff in my life. You know, my stuff is my stuttering, my struggles. You know what's amazing about the new creation? It's like all the stuff I would have thrown away when God saved me and said, I'm going to use you. I was just saying, hey, you can't use this stuttering thing. There's no way. You can't use all my weaknesses. There's no way. And I'm assuming this is trash. Just throw it away. You know what God said? Hey, I'm going to use you. You know what's going to be, blow you away? All this stuff you think is trash, I'm going to use this stuff as well for my glory. And you're going to be an incredible example of the grace of God as the world sees what God does in our week. That's why the Apostle Paul prayed. He had a thorn. And he asked the Lord three times, Lord, take this thing away. Obviously, God easily could have taken that thing away, but he didn't. But God told Paul, Paul, I'm not taking it away, but you're going to discover because of this thorn that my grace is sufficient for you. And you're going to also discover that my power is actually made perfect in your weakness. So Paul said, I would rather boast in my thorn that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He's actually saying, hey, this thorn thing is not a thorn. It's a gift. You know what? I finally realized after all these years, my stuttering, it's not a thorn in my life. You know what it is? It's a gift from God, because anything that reminds me every moment how much I need Jesus is a gift. He said, after all that has changed in my life, and I've got a new heart, I've got a new mind, and you know what? And I wish I had more time to talk, but you know, I sing a new song now. You know, now I can sing the songs of faith, like the one we sang earlier, that song. I couldn't even sing, you know why? I was tearing up. I mean, it was just, it's so moving, so real. It's like the I sang this with all my grandkids, and Sheila and I sing this, that incredible song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. That name, the Bible says, it's the name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The point is, you can be a new creation today. Now, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your new year will really not be new. But you know, today, you can do, if you just ask God to do it, that supernatural work of his grace in your life by saying yes to Jesus, and he'll come in, save you, and make you a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. You know, another thing I just thought about how it's changed me. I used to worry constantly all the time. It's just what you thought about me just dominated my life. I worried about what the world thought about me, how I fit in. Of course, I always felt because of my stutter and because of my did. I've got everybody else. You know what I realize now as a new creation in Christ? It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what social media. None of that matters. You know what matters? It's who I am in Christ. That's what's mattered. And I'm everything he created me to be, with all that I need to do to accomplish everything he wants me to accomplish in Christ Jesus, because I am now in Christ. That's the point. It's a new creation. Praise be to God. I am new in Christ, and I praise you are as well. Here's the second thing real quick, and I got to hurry. New covenant. Do you know why we can have be a new creation? Because there's a new covenant. And Hebrews speaks about that. Hebrews 8, real quick. He says this, that verse 8 of Hebrews 8:8. I will establish a new covenant. He says, I will establish a new covenant. And then he says in verse 10 of chapter 8, for this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God. And then verse 12, he says, I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sin. Six times he says, I will. That is the new covenant. Now, the new covenant, obviously, is in contrast to the old covenant, which God established with the nation of Israel. And back then, God gave them 614 laws. And these laws touch every phase of their human life, of existence. He also gave him 10 commandments. And if an Israelite could have kept all of those 614 laws and the and the Ten Commandments and didn't break one of them, if he could do that, he would have become a new creation. The problem is, no one ever did. Problem is, nobody ever can. It's impossible. You can't do it. Only one did, and his name was Jesus, Jesus Christ. The law was never given to save people, only to govern them and to point them to the coming Messiah, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's going to give us in him, by his blood, a new, better covenant. That's what we have now in the New Testament, and it's better because it's now a blood covenant. It's what it says five times in the New Testament. Matthew 26:28 says this about the new covenant. Jesus says, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." It's the new covenant, which is the fulfillment of everything God has ever done, ever planned to do, everything in Jesus Christ, in his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection. And it's a better, more glorious, superior covenant. You know why? Four reasons. Real quick, I'll just state these. Four reasons why this new is better than the old. It fulfills the old. You know why? Because it's based on God's grace. The old was based on man's ability to keep the law, based on man's faithfulness to God. It was all about God saying, do this, 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 and this, we will do it, which they never did. The new covenant is based on God's faithful promise to us. He is faithful to us, to man. And God says, I will do this. It isn't what we do, is what God has done for us. It's on his grace. You know what? God loves you just like you are. You're forgiven just like you are. You can never do anything to make him love you more. Or good to make him love you more. Or bad to make him love you less. He loves you just like you are. His grace is always extended to you. It's full. And his grace is greater than all of our sin. One, is based on grace. Two, is based on internal change. The old covenant, the law, just declared a holy standard, but can never produce the power to obey it. We need a new heart to obey it. And the old was external. It was written on tablets. The new is written on human hearts. It's written on my heart. The new is, it's not my striving to be Christ-like. It's me just obeying Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and his word. And within that, we fulfill the righteousness of God. It's not an outside thing. It's an inside thing. And the new is also better because it's based on the forgiveness of sin for all. That's verse 11 and 12. You know, we still sin. I still sin. You still sin. Now, hopefully, we're sinning less. You know, sin is still an issue, but God has provided for our sin through what Jesus did at the cross. And 1 John 1:9, he makes that incredible statement. He says, if you confess your sin, he will forgive your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. The only way there was no forgiveness under the old law, it wasn't given for that. It's only through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which was a sacrifice of blood, because the Bible says, Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. And the new covenant takes care of our sin. And then fourth, it's based on an eternal blessing. It's forever. The old law, the old temple, the old sacrificial system that they did back then, all that's gone. It was actually destroyed in the temple and the sacrifice did in AD 70. But our relationship with God now, based on this new covenant, is forever, for eternity. You know how we can live and live gloriously? Because we live under a new covenant with Jesus Christ, who sees me. I don't have to perform. I don't have to look a certain way, do certain things. I just be who God created me to be in Christ, and I'm loved and valued just like I am and you, because there's a new covenant which allows me to be a new creation. And then there's also a new commandment. As a result of being a new creation, living under a new relationship with God, he wants me to do something, and that's exactly what he says in John 13, 34 and 35. It's to love. A new commandment, he says, I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Love one another. By this, all are going to know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. Love takes on a whole new meaning because of Jesus Christ. Love has a new power in us because of the Holy Spirit. And it is love, the way of Christian love, which truth is true evidence who we belong to. We belong to Jesus Christ, and it's obvious I'm a new person in Christ because I'm doing what Jesus did and what he wants us to do, which is to love. And to love one another, he says, as I have loved you, Jesus said. How is he's loved us? He loved us selflessly, sacrificially, understandingly, forgivingly, perfectly, completely. We love the way Jesus loved, and love just keeps on loving regardless. It never stops. That's why the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13, speaking about love, love does what? Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Love never fails. It never changes. Never ends. You know what? I just had this thought, and I probably shouldn't say this. I don't know. I'm not sure about this thought, but I just had this thought, and I'm going to say it anyway. I'll probably be reprimanded. Too many Christian men have divorced their wives thinking, I don't love her anymore. How is that possible if love never changes, if love never ends? If love, you love all the way to the end until God does everything he wants to do in the life of that person, whoever that person is. What needs to change in the world is love. There's so much hate, there's so much junk, all kinds of things. What God wants to do is make someone a new creation that knows, who's experienced the love of God in their life powerfully, supernaturally, has changed their life. And then as a result, I live differently and I start loving the way I've been loved. Love changes everything. How glorious it is to be loved. I want to close with just sharing an illustration of my life about being loved. I had a wonderful dad and a mom who loved us. Boys in my family and my sister, I mean, they said it. One of the things my dad would do, he'd say, hey, Neil, I love you, man. He'd go, hey, love you, son. Hey, proud of you. Hey, son, I love you. But you know what else he would do? He'd hug us. Man, I'd play a ball game, and after that game, I'd walk out of the locker room. There'd be my dad and my mom, and my dad would walk up to me and just wrap me up in a big old bear hug. I was always a Baylor fan. Always loved Baylor. Always wanted to play football at Baylor. If you're raised as I was, loving Baylor in the 50s and 60s when I was a kid, you were also raised with a real strong dislike for the University of Texas. Because Texas beat us every year in football. For 17 years in a row, from 1957 to 1973, Texas dominated Baylor, beat us every year. My dream was to play at Baylor and play against the University of Texas. Well, my freshman year in 1971, Texas beats us for the 15th year in a row, 44-7. My sophomore year in 1972, Texas beats us for the 16th year in a row, 17-3. My junior year, 1973, we played in Austin, Texas. I'm talking Memorial Stadium. I'm talking 100-something thousand people. I mean, it's a great place to be. It was a great game. Texas scores in the last second of the game and beats us 56-20. For the 17th year in a row. Now I'm a senior in 1974. We're playing in Waco. We're having a good year. They're having a good year. It's a big showdown, they call it, on the Brazos River, which is a river that goes right through central Texas. Well, our stadium only holds about 48,000 people back then. We jammed about 53,000 people in that place. On the third play of the game, I threw a pass to a guy on the left sideline. He catches the ball. He breaks a tackle. He goes 67 yards for a we're ahead 7-0. I'm not sure if we'd even led in 17 years, and here we are ahead. Because everybody's thinking, maybe this is the year. Well, you know this. If you score, you have to kick the ball to the other team. Well, Texas was huge back then, ran the wishbone. They take the ball just methodically. They march down the field. They score 7-7. We get the ball, have a good drive. We get stopped. We get a punt. We punt. They take the ball. They just methodically march down the field. They score again, 14-7. We get the ball, have a good drive. We get stopped. Actually, I threw an interception. As I remember, it wasn't my fault. The guy ran the wrong route. But anyway, right? They score again, 21-7. We get the ball, have a good drive. We get stopped. We punt. They take the ball. They drive down. We finally stop them. They kick a field goal. It's now 24-7. Texas is ahead, and it's halftime. Our fans are leaving the stadium by the thousands. They're just walking. They're thinking, I don't know what's it. Well, start second half. They get the ball first. We stop them. They got a punt. We block their punt. We go in and score. We end up. We shut Texas down. They didn't score another point. We end up scoring 27 unanswered points. We end up winning that game 34-24. To this day, it's still the greatest comeback victory in the history of earth. And for me, it was my greatest day as an athlete. I was the Sports Illustrated Offensive Back of the Week after this game. Greatest moment of my life. Greatest victory. Greatest high in my life as an athlete. But the greatest thrill of that whole experience was walking out of that locker room. And there's my dad and my mom. And my dad walks up to me, and my dad just grabs me up in a bear hug. You know how awesome it is for a little boy? And I guess a boy in the presence of his father always feels like a little boy. Just to have the greatest day of your life as an athlete. And your dad was there. Your dad saw it. And you can feel how much he loved you and how proud, because it's all wrapped up in that hug. The year before that, we played TCU, speaking of TCU, for homecoming. We're behind 34-7. 11 minutes left to go in the game. We start another amazing comeback. I mean, we score three quick touchdowns. It's now 34-28. If we could somehow get the ball, somehow drive down, score, and kick the extra point, we might win this game 35-34. We get the ball at the minute and a half left. We start this amazing drive. I mean, I'm hitting passes all over the field, driving the ball. Now, we get on the 8-yard line going in the score. Seconds left. I threw a pass to a guy on the flat over here on the right side. He catches the ball. And just so you know, the film showed after the game, if he had just turned up the side, he'd have walked in the end zone and we'd have won the game. But for some stupid reason, I'm still in counseling for this. He breaks in the middle. He's tackled inbounds. We don't have a timeout left. I mean, seconds left. Just yards away from the great victory. I'm thinking, we got to stop the clock. You got to get one more shot on the end. So what do you do? You down the ball. Of course, now if you're going to down, you just take and throw it down. And then you had to throw a pass out of bounds. I get the ball, two passes. I did throw the ball out of bounds. I did stop the clock. Except it was fourth down. Now, if you non-football types, that is not a good thing. That's a major blunder of a mistake. I just got confused. I thought it was third down. I could waste a play, give one more shot in the end zone. I just threw the game away. I just cost us the game. Major mistake. Happened at a major moment. You can't hide. Everybody saw me do it. It's the lead story in the sports. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's down. Lowest moment of my life as an athlete. It was all on me, my mistake. I made it. We lost the game because of me. I'm in the locker room just weeping. I was so disappointed. I can't describe what it was like to walk out of that locker room as low as I was. And there's my dad and my mom. My dad walks up to me and just wraps me up in a bear hug. My head was on his shoulder just crying. I was so disappointed, so defeated. Here's my point. On the greatest day of my life as an athlete, and we beat Texas and I'm the star, I got that hug. On my worst day as an athlete, when I failed, when the whole Baylor nation was down on Jeffrey, I still got that hug. You know how awesome it is to be in the hug of somebody you love? That's exactly the way Jesus Christ loves us, loves you. Totally and completely, just like you are. It doesn't matter what you do or don't do. What needs to be done has been done when Jesus died, when Jesus paid the debt for our sin, when he was buried, when he rose again. Now we don't have to do anything to get in the hug. People, we're in the hug. And because we're in the hug, Because I have been loved that way. You know what? And because that's what Jesus had commanded us to do, I am gonna love. You know, I was just thinking about this. I mean, I'm a new man. I accepted Jesus years and years ago. So what's gonna be new this New Year's about me, for me? You know what it is? God, I love you, Lord. But God, I want you to do a whole new thing in my heart, that I love you completely and fully with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the world knows, if they know anything about me, I pray they know how much I love Jesus and what he's done in my life. You know what else I want to do in this year? I love my wife. Now, I think I've loved her pretty well. But you know what? The new thing I want. Sheila, stand up. Yes, yeah, stand up right now. That's my wife, Sheila. I've loved her 46 plus years, but you know what I want? God, I want to love her more than not just I want to love her more. God, I'm asking you to do a whole new thing in my heart, that I'm able to love her fully and completely the way Christ loved the church and gave himself for. Men, do you think it's possible we could experience a new thing in our life and love our wives in a whole new, glorious way that brings honor and glory to him, as witness to our kids and our family? Yes, God, I want that. You know, I want to love my kids. I want to love the Word of God. Now, I love the Word of God, but I want him to do a whole new thing in my life, in my heart. I pray, but God, I want you to do, like Jack said in that mess, this year, God, do a whole new thing in my heart and my life in prayer. I want God to do something new, something incredible, and that's going to happen because I am in Christ.
Amen.
You know what? God wants to do that. God wants to do a new thing in the life of our church as well. It'll happen if his people get right with him. Would you bow your heads? We're going to have a moment of invitation, which we always do at our church, which I'm so glad we do. We always present the gospel. We always let people have a chance to respond. And I realize on a New Year's Day, most of us may be Christians. We've had the new birth experience. We're new creations. But I just believe with all my heart there may be somebody here who's just not satisfied with their life, just not happy where they are, just not who they wanted to be, not living the way you dreamed you would live, and just you've tried everything under the sun to experience life in its fullness. Today, I'm inviting you to come to experience what's above the sun, which is God. And let God do what only he can do in your heart, because what he wants to do is a miracle. It's supernatural. If you just simply place your faith and trust in him, he'll forgive you of your sin, which is glorious. Come into your life, which is glorious. Make you a new person, a new creation, which is glorious. Give you, allow you to live abundantly in Christ and give you eternal life. All that's available for you today. I pray there's a man out here just like that man I talked about earlier in the service who knows I need to accept Jesus. When we stand and sing in just a moment, I want you to come. You may be new here, your first time here, it doesn't matter. You just come. What's going to happen? Our men are going to be here at the front, and we'll just talk to you about, as I talk to that guy, about what it means and how to become a new creation. Now, most of us in the room, we are new creations. We've touched Christ, but the fact is, it's conceivable, it's possible that the enemy has done a number on us, that the world has kind of robbed us of what God wants us to have. And maybe what needs to happen, the new thing, you decide, you know what? I'm making a decision to recommit my life to Jesus, to surrender all that I have to all that I know of him. God, I'm asking you to do a whole new, wonderful thing, because God is always about doing something new. In heaven, he's always making everything new. He wants to do a new thing in your life. You know what? You could be watching online right now, and wherever you are, it doesn't matter where you are. That's the miracle about this. Anywhere in the world, If you'll just bow your head and heart and invite Jesus Christ into your life, He'll come into your life, make you a new creation, and do a whole new thing in you, with you, for you, and through you. And if you'll just if you've done that, we'd love to know that and just to help you. And you can text Jesus to 74788. And we would love to help you. People are standing by to help you in that decision to accept Jesus. Lord, I pray for this moment. Make it not just a moment, more than just a moment on the first day of the new year. God, I'm asking you to make this a supernatural, a miraculous moment where somebody, maybe many, maybe just one, will come and accept Jesus, make a recommitment of their life, decide to join our church in this first year of the new year. God, help them to come. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.